want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Monday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh radio program. I hope that as we go through the Word of God, that there's some wisdom, some truth that is shared across the 30 minutes that we have here, and that it changes your life for the better. That's what our goal is. And today we're going to be in Luke chapter 10. I hope that you had a marvelous Resurrection Sunday. I pray that Jesus is alive in your life. He's alive forevermore. So, one of the things that happens is around Easter time, a number of people give their heart to Jesus. And one of the best things that you could do if you're a new believer, maybe you're just tuning in, you haven't even had 24 hours as a born-again child of God, where you've asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life and forgive you of your sins. You might not have even 24 hours of that reality yet. I want to encourage you, get plugged into a church that preaches the Word of God, that is a church that will help you to grow. And one of those steps that you need to take is you need to say, you know what? I want to tell everybody what Jesus has done in my life. And one of the best testimonial methods there is to obey the Lord and being baptized. And so if you're new to the being a Christian, welcome to the family. And if you'd like to follow the Lord in water baptism, we can help you out. We would love to celebrate what God is doing in your life. So before we get into Luke chapter 10, verse number 27 today, I want to tell you about the folks of Jits Concrete. Jits Concrete's got decades and decades of history here in Brevard County. They are experts in all things concrete. They are not fly by night. They've been here in Brevard County for a long, long time, and they are really, really good at what they do. If you've got a concrete job that you've got coming up, they may be a great resource for you. Their phone number is 321-536-5804. They've got decades of expertise knowing the thicknesses, the strengths, the work time, the resources that you need to contact, how you can get it delivered, all of that sort of stuff, what needs to be installed to make it sustainable, where it endures not just for a season but for a long time. They've got a great amount of expertise, experience, and they have a fantastic work ethic. If you find that they're a great resource for you and you hire them, they will come and do the prep. Whether that's removal of old stuff to make room for the new installation process, they can do that. They come in, they do the prep work, they do the pouring, they do the finishing, they do the cleanup, and get out of the way so that your project can move forward. Their phone number is 321-536-5804. So Luke chapter 10, verse number 25, and it says this, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You've answered rightly. do this and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? That's where we're going to end the reading today. So Jesus had been tested by this lawyer, and Jesus' response to the question was, how do you read it? What do you see that it says? So one of my strategies as a pastor is, if someone asks me a question and they're a new believer or maybe not a believer at all, I'll answer their question. If they have been a Christian for a long, long time and they ask a question, my first response may be this: well, what do you think the answer to that question is? And so there was a situation several years ago where someone was asking a question. I said, well, what is your take on it? And they didn't have one. You ought to know what the Word of God has to say. The pastor ought to know the Word of God. That's true. But the congregation has the responsibility, according to Scripture, that if there's ever a word of prophecy or if there's ever a message that comes, that one of the responsibilities that we have is to be like those of Berea, who measured or evaluated the message that Paul preached against the Word of God. And if you find a message that is contrary to the Word of God, you don't reject the Word, you reject the message that had come forth. Because God is not going to contradict His Word. It's the easiest evaluation method to find out if someone is speaking as God's messenger or if they're speaking from some other motivation. There are people who are really good at other motivations. I can tell you that there are things that I want to be very bad at in life. I want to be bad at lying. I want to be bad at manipulation. I want to be very, very bad at unfaithfulness, because I want to be a faithful person. I want to be a messenger of truth. I want to be a person who is moved with compassion the way that God is moved with compassion. Those things I want to excel at. And excelling in areas that God wants you to excel in should make you very bad at other things that this world celebrates. Like there are people who celebrate how intoxicated they can become. You know, the Bible calls it champions at drinking and things like that, as if that was some metric that you would want to be known for throughout history. That's not it. I don't want to be drunk with wine. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. That's what I want for 2026. And so the question that Jesus was asked was, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he says, how would you answer that question? What do you read for yourself? You're a lawyer. Verse number 27, he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Here, and Jesus says, that's the right answer. That's the right answer. Specifically, it says, you have answered rightly, do this and you will live. He puts this in a particular order. He says, you shall love the Lord your God. This is a quotation from the book of Deuteronomy and also the book of Leviticus. So you'll see it in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 5, and the second part, your neighbor as yourself, in the book of Leviticus chapter 19 and verse number 18. This is the man's response. He said, well, this is what the Word says. Our mission statement at Merit Assembly of God is to be a blessing. And whenever we begin to elaborate on that, there's a certain order that I say it, that we're called to be a blessing to God. We're called to be a blessing to our family. We're supposed to be a blessing to our church, and we're supposed to be a blessing to the community. That's the order. We're supposed to be a blessing spiritually. We're supposed to be a blessing relationally. And there may be another a number of other ways that we can be a blessing, but those are some of the sequences that we operate by. So let's look at it. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your innermost being. He should be your top priority. There should be no other God before him. There should be no job before him. And I'm talking about real life struggles that people have. And so there was a time, I in fact, my dad and I had this conversation here a few weeks ago. He was talking about a job that he had, and I believe he said he, back in those days, he made $125 a month, and he had to work 5.5 days a week to get that $125 a month. And he said, and some of those may have been 10-hour days. He couldn't remember exactly, nine or 10-hour days. All of that for $125 a month. $125 doesn't buy you a week's worth of groceries in most cases now. So the thing about making a job or your paycheck as more important than God, that where you love that more than you love him, doesn't make great eternal sense. There are some people who are in love with their houses, people in love with their hobbies. Though all of those things are temporal, meaning that they're temporary. They have to do with this small window of time in which we live. But we are going to either live for eternity in the presence of God or live for eternity without the presence of God, and that is known as spiritual death. Okay, it's worse than dying physically because it is dying forever. There's an eternal separation from God for those who reject his glorious gift of salvation. So it's supposed to be with all of our innermost being. You're not supposed to be straddling the fence with one foot in the world and one foot in a relationship with God. It's not about a part-time relationship with God. It's not about just having a relationship with God for 1 hour or an hour and a half on Sunday morning. It is a full-time committed relationship where we are all in. Our whole heart is committed to that relationship. It is the greatest relationship we could ever have. If you want to give a great gift to your spouse, fall in love with Jesus unconditionally. And that love for Jesus will manifest in a greater marriage. It will manifest in a greater relationship with your kids. It will cause you to have peace that passes understanding. It will be a blessing that increases influence in every other area of your life. Make sure you're all in. If you took one step, I invite you, hey, start walking with him again today. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And, you know, the thing about that is, if you're all in on something, it's going to impact other areas of your life. It says with all your soul. Well, the soul includes your mind, your will, and emotions. So the mind is mentioned a little bit later here. So I'll talk about the will. You know, we are supposed to allow God to come and change the nature of our will. A lot of people want to know, what's God's will for my life? They want to know the specifics. They want to know, should I take this job or should I not take this job? Should I marry this person? Should I not marry this person? Well, let me tell you, the first priority is to understand that the will of God is that none perish, but all come to everlasting life. And so you need to start with that. You need to look at the Word of God and say, God, what is it that your will for humanity is? And then as you begin to recognize the voice of God as it's revealed in the Word of God, then you're going to understand that there are going to be things that are God's will and things that are not God's will. So immorality is not God's will. There's a lot that people are partaking of because it's legal, but just because it's legal doesn't mean it's moral. Just because it's legal doesn't mean that that's something that God wants for you. Laws of man have changed. The will of God has not. God's will is for us to conduct ourselves in a manner that is righteous, and right, it reflects the right standing we have before God. So not only is it the will, but it is in the emotions. So everybody has emotions. God created us with emotions. He also tells us that we are supposed to submit those emotions to His lordship. So it says, do not fear. Don't be afraid. One of the primary motivating emotions that people have is fear. There's fear of failure, fear of dying, fear of going broke, fear of being alone. And yet over and over again, the Bible says, fear not, do not be afraid. And the reason for that is because He is the one who accompanies us. He's with us, and He will never leave us and never forsake us. Jesus said, don't worry. Well, we get many times trapped up in the pressures of the now and the finances and what's going on in this situation and what's going on in that situation. And God says, you know what? I don't want you being governed by those negative emotions. I want to give you positive emotions to deal with. So the kingdom of God is righteousness, right standing before God. It is peace, which is wholeness of being in every area of our life, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So joy should be something that manifests in us. So it is perfectly biblical to be emotional when you're worshiping God. There are times when you may be moved to happy tears. Praise the Lord when that happens. Love it when that happens. There may be times when you're rejoicing with someone else who just got an answer to prayer, and your answer hasn't come yet, but you're rejoicing with them because the God who answered their prayers is going to answer your prayers. So there may be courage instead of fear. There's gentleness and kindness and love and patience. And so love the Lord your God, not just with the innermost being, but let that love be manifested in your will and your emotions. It goes on and says, with all your strength. So when I come to church, I want to give my very best. You know, in a sports metaphor, they would say you want to leave it all out on the field. So when I show up for church on Sunday morning, my job is to show up with all of my strength. I want to show up well rested. So I start making my way to bed as early as I possibly can on Saturday night, because my Sunday morning starts very early, because I'm going to show up and I want my voice to be strong. I want my mind to be clear. I want the word of God planted inside of me. I want to love the Lord my God with all my strength. When I go home, I want to have given everything that I had strength-wise that was asked of me, to make sure that people know that we are able to stand strong in the Lord. The next one that it says is with all your mind. If you've just given your heart to Jesus, I want you to know that one of the first things that people are going to challenge you with is they're going to approach you as if you've lost your mind, when the Bible actually says that when Jesus comes into your heart, he begins to renew our minds. We begin to think the way that Jesus thinks. So it is not irrational to believe in Jesus. Culture has been very good at making it seem as if you are unreasonable if you believe in creation. You read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and you're going to find, I believe it's in verse 3, that it is one of the first acts of faith is to believe in the fact that God has created everything. And that's no trivial matter, because when you believe that God created everything and he created you and he created you with a purpose, then that means that there's purpose for being. And so there are people who have made it seem that it's you're irrational if you believe that there is life after death, that there's a heaven that we're going to get to go to and spend forever in the presence of Jesus if Jesus is living in our hearts. It's not irrational. It's perfectly reasonable. And there are some, they're called apologists, as if it's an apology, but that's not what the word means. The study of apologetics is to make a passionate defense of the gospel in the realm of the intellectual. Okay? And so your mind will function different. The Bible says that there's going to come a time when people have rejected God, not wanted to have anything to do with him, and it causes their mind to be reprobate. In other words, it's not functioning the way that God intended it to. And because of that, then they start making all of these other bad decisions that have spiritual ramifications. And God has a solution for that. It's called repentance. It's coming to God and saying, God, I need you to change my heart, and you change my direction, and you change what I pursue, and you change what I'm inclined to. So many people don't ever pursue the intellectual advancement. They don't ever look at it and saying, you know what, I want to love the Lord my God, not only with my heart. They don't ever get to the point, I want to use my mind. I want to be able to give a reasonable explanation of why I believe what I believe. So this is what the lawyer is answering, that the word of God dictates as evidence of the inheritance that we have of eternal life. And there's one more thing. It's what brings us to Luke chapter 10, because we're studying that not only is God moved with compassion, but we're supposed to be moved with compassion. And he says, and love your neighbor as yourself. A lot of people misunderstand that and think that they're not supposed to love themselves. And what I mean by that is I want to go to heaven. And so there I have this statement that I'm allergic to pain. It causes me discomfort. I don't like hurting myself. Because I don't like hurting myself, I don't want to be hurting other people. Because I don't want to experience negative ramifications or consequences in my life, there are certain things I don't do. Because of that, I want to teach other people those that there are things that they shouldn't do because they're going to it's going to cause pain and suffering in their life that are not part of God's will. And so in order for me to love other people, I've got to love God. I've got to get that relationship. I've got to begin to experience the benefits of that relationship in my life. And then I love my neighbor so much that I don't want to deprive them of the joy, of the peace, of the life, of the transformation that Jesus has done in me. I want them to experience that same transformative redemption. I want them to fall in love with Jesus the same way. I heard a famous Bible teacher one time say they went to class and they heard this teacher who was so passionate about their relationship with God that it had manifest in a passionate presentation of the Word of God. And that teacher said, I went out to my car and I cried and I said, God, would you give me a passion for the Word of God the same way that you've given that person that passion? Okay, that's all fine, well and good, but it also goes one step further, and that is this: God, I want everybody to have the same privilege of knowing you as the Holy One of Israel, the only way to heaven, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because Jesus is the most important person in my life, I want Jesus to be the most important person in their life. Now, I can't make that happen, but I can present them the opportunity. That's why we do missions. That's why we do this radio program. That's why we do what we do at Merit Assembly of God, is to be a blessing by making Jesus known to those that Jesus wants to bless. So, hope you had a great resurrection weekend. We're going to be diving back into Luke chapter 10 tomorrow. We pray that you have a great rest of your Monday. Get your week started off in the right direction. Praise the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And we will see you tomorrow here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.